Okay, we'll continue on here with angelology, and now we'll give you the test questions that we're going to have here for next week, all right? Now, we want you to feel free to ask any question that you might have concerning this, because there are a lot of things that we did not cover with angels here just due to the time. Like we say, we're trying to put sort of a cram course here where, you know, this is a whole year study on Bible doctrine, so there's some things that we did not cover. We try to get the major things. Okay, the memory verse for next week is Colossians chapter 1 in verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 16. Question number 1. There are three angels whose personal names we know. Name them. Do you know what they are? Okay, name them. Gabriel, that's right. That's the three answers. Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. Those are the three names that we know. Question number 2. Angels are personal beings with intelligence and thoughts and free wills. True or false? Question number 3. What are the two names of the devil before he fell? Huh? And Lucifer, that's right, the Anointed One and Lucifer. Good. Question number 4. What is his name after he fell? His main name? Satan. Sure. And the term angel is not a personal name, but rather a title describing an office. True or false? Okay. Question 6. Who's going to blow the trumpet when Christ comes for his church? Who's going to blow the trumpet?
Gabriel.
Haven't heard a thing yet. Gabriel. What is it? The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. Who's the archangel? Michael. All right, good. Question 7. Gabriel is the angel that disputed with the devil about the burial of the body of Moses. True or false? Question number 8. What archangel appeared unto Zacharias and Mary concerning John the Baptist and Jesus? Question 9. How many angels did Christ say he could call to deliver him from being apprehended while in the garden? How many angels? I can call down how many? Six legions, which is how many to a legion?
12,000.
I think we've got it backwards. Didn't he say I could call down 12 legions of angels? And there's 6,000 in a legion. Well, you had it right. You just had them backwards. So the answer is 72,000 angels. Okay? Question 10. Where is the primary dwelling place of the angels? Answer, third heaven. Question 11. There are three dwelling places of fallen angels today. What are they? Can you tell me? Well, fallen angels are in the atmosphere. Okay, so we have the heavenly atmosphere, right? Then we have the earth, and we have one other place. Tartarus, that's right. Good. Okay. Mark something here. Okay. Question 12. In Job chapter 1, verse 6, Satan and the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord. These are the fallen angels called the sons of God by blank. Not by blank. Creation, not by regeneration, all right? Question 13. All the wicked angels will one day die the second death. True or false? Question 14. Angels will never die. True or false? Question 15. A description of the cherubims is found where in Scripture? The answer is Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 10. Question 16. The angelic beings known as seraphims are found are only found in what book and chapter? Isaiah chapter 6. Question 17, who is the only archangel in Scripture? Michael. Okay, question 18, who is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament? The Lord Jesus Christ. Question 19, all angels, good and evil, are in subjection to Jesus, to Jesus Christ, true or false? Question 20, when is the devil and his angels cast out of heaven to the earth? Middle of the tribulation period. Question 21, Satan created his evil angels just as God created his holy angels, true or false? So the true and false are so easy that they don't have to give you the answer. 22, who is the angel who does most of the fighting against the demonic angels? Michael. Question 23, name the angel who is known as the messenger angel. Who carries the messages? That's Gabriel. Who came to clear the pathway for Gabriel to get through? Michael. He's the fighting one, isn't he? I think he'll also be fighting. Dr. Hoyt, years ago, in his put out a book on eschatology, and he had this, and I think it's a very good thing. He said, when the voice of the archangel is sounded for the church, Michael the archangel is going to blow the trumpet. Well, why is he going to blow the trumpet? Well, first of all, where did the atmosphere when David prayed? And then Gabriel came unto him and said, from the first day of thy prayer, that prayer was heard. It was 21 days later. And he said, because the prince of Persia hath hindered me, that God had set Michael in order to clear the way. Somewhere in the atmosphere from heaven to earth, Gabriel couldn't get through. What do you think Satan and the demons are going to do to try to keep the transforming of the dead in Christ who rise first, and us which alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds? If that trumpet's blowing, and therefore, I believe, to signal two-thirds all the angels that God has is to clear out the atmosphere so there's nothing hindering the bodies meeting with the souls and spirits. So it's going to be a wonderful reunion when those in heaven come down, receive their resurrected or their transformed bodies, and us going up with a transformed body right straight through. Who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan. And he's going to do everything he can to keep that from happening. So when Michael blows the trumpet, it'll be to clean out every angel and clean out the atmosphere so there's no hindrance for God's perfect work to take place at the rapture. Okay, let's go on. Okay, question 24. Angels can do many things for the protection of Christians that we may never see or know about until we get to heaven, true or false? Question 25. Can demons inflict physical harm to a person without God's knowledge? Yes or no? Question 26. James 2:19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. If we believe like the demons, then why are they lost and we are saved? The answer is, they believed too late. They believed too late. Everyone in hell believed too late. But they're all believers now. The man in Luke chapter 16. And he said, how he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, said, Abraham, go get a drop of water and wet my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. Was he a believer? He surely was. Say, go back and tell my five brothers, at least they come to this place of torment. Was he a believer? You better believe he was a believer. But he believed too late, didn't he? Surely did. Okay. Question number 27. Does Satan have the power to kill a person? Yes or no? Question 28. The word devils in the New Testament is best translated what? What was it best translated? Demons. All right, great. Question 29. What are some of the characteristics of demon possession or demon influence? There are four things we want you to put down. There are many more, but we just want you to put four. Multiple voices inside a person's mind. At the red flag immediately, demon possession. Remember this. When you have the Holy Spirit, all right, or you have no Holy Spirit, you have all kind of voices that can come from everywhere, from demons. But if you have the Holy Spirit, then you only have one spirit speaking to you from the inside. All of these multiple voices and things, how many times do you see the psychiatrist come in and trying to deal with these multiple voices, and we have this voice speaking to this voice and trying to get this one under control and that one under control? Have you seen any of those shows where it shows these people, where they videotape this with these multiple voices and so forth? These demons laugh at these idiot psychiatrists trying to figure out and to deal with this, and they say, you dumb clucks, you don't even know what's going on. If you knew the Bible, you'd know who we are. But without nothing more than just humanistic philosophy, you idiots are trying to solve something you don't even know what's taking place. This is nothing more than demon possession. That's all that it is. Okay, number one, multiple voices inside a person's mind. Number two, unnatural association with the dead. Number three, counterfeiting the Holy Spirit with so-called tongues. That's probably, under the religious atmosphere, one of the greatest counterfeits and thing that demons use. Number four, all false teaching contrary to the Bible is demon-inspired. All false teaching outside of the Bible that contradicts the Bible is demon-inspired. All false teaching contrary to the Bible. Question number 30. Where are the demons today that brought about the flood? Where are they at today? Tartaro. Okay. Tartaro. T-A-R-T-A-R-O-O. Or U-S. We don't put Tartaros. Question 31. In Genesis 6, we're told that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Define the following. So I'm going to give you four things, and you just define it. Number one, sons of God. Your answer is demons. Daughters of men. Your answer is earthly women. Took them wives. Your answer is married in the sense of possessing their bodies. Well, a husband and wife is married, you two are one, right? When demons possess the body, they're one with the body. I mean, you're one. Because they share it. The human furnishes the body and the demon furnishes the mind and controls everything. Number four, which they chose. Your definition is they picked the most ungodly women. That wasn't hard to do before the flood. Question number 32. What was the sin that caused Lucifer to fall? The answer is pride. Isaiah 14:14. Question 33. In John 8:44, Satan is described as a murderer and a liar. Of all the wickedness he causes, what is his main object towards the human race? Define the following. We put liar and murderer. You define liar according to what we've given here. What is his main objective of the human race? Liar, any kind of a work salvation as opposed to God's salvation as a free gift. Now, anything else he does is secondary, just as long as you do not believe the gospel is a free gift. Any other, you can get religious, do anything you want, have your baby baptized, go to confirmation, confess to the priest or the Lutheran preacher, anything you want to do, just don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's his main objective, is to see you in hell for all time and eternity. Murderer, your definition of that is the second death spiritually in hell. Question number 34, in Isaiah 14:12. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles over here because I want to show you one of the trickeries of this NIV Bible, okay, so that you get this down. Isaiah here in chapter 14, and I want you to have this so that you can understand a little something here on this and how much of a trickery they did. All right? We come over here at question 34. In Isaiah 14:12, we read, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Your New American Standard Bible and your NIV have taken out Lucifer. They don't want you to see that. So they've taken it out. And they've omitted Lucifer and put what instead? Now that's your question. they have put Morning Star. That's right. Morning Star. They've taken Lucifer out and put Morning Star. Question number 34. So you're going to learn a Hebrew word here. The Hebrew word for star is, and you've got to know this because it's so easy, Kokab. K-O-K-A-B. Kokab. So how do we know this is a perverted translation? So we got sort of two questions here. The Hebrew word for star is, what is it now? Kokab, K-O-K-A-B. So how do we know this is a perverted translation? The answer is, the Hebrew word appears nowhere in any Hebrew manuscript we have. That is concerning this verse. It appears nowhere. Kokab is not there. Question 35. How do we know these two Bibles purposely mistranslated this verse by omitting Lucifer? Now put this reference in here to Isaiah 14:14. Put the reference to Job chapter 38, verse 7. Let's go in our Bibles here to Job chapter 38, verse 7, all right? Job chapter 38, verse 7. Here we go. Job 38:7. Now the same people translated Job 38:7. Now I'd like for you to notice here in Job 38:7, when the morning star, see that word star? That's Kokab. K-O-K-A-B. Now they translated it in their translation in the New American Standard Bible and also in the NIV, they translated Kokab a star. See? So they know the Hebrew word kokab means star. So they properly translate it as stars here in Job chapter 38, verse 7, and purposely took it out when they inserted over here, morning star, when kokab doesn't appear over here in Isaiah 14 at all. Doesn't appear there in verse 12 at all. So they inserted it. Then you can put down a reference, if you want to, Proverbs chapter 30 in verse 6, which says this, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. This is how tricky these people are. There's not many laymen can pick up on some of this stuff here, because it's very tricky what they do, unless you make a specific study of it here and find out how absolute misleading these so-called translators are. And they're very damnable in what they do. And yet, it has swept everybody off of their feet for the past 15 years or so, or maybe 20 years. The NIV is one of the largest selling Bibles in the world. And it's nothing but a pile of trash. That's all it is, trash. And we come over here now. And we want you to take here, let's see, in question 35. We'll read it again. How do we know the two Bibles purposely mistranslated the verse by omitting Lucifer? The answer is because they translated the Hebrew for star correctly in Job 38:7. Now you'll have to have that almost word for word there. Job 38:7. Because they translated the Hebrew word kokab for star correctly. So there wasn't any reason for taking Lucifer out and putting star when kokab does not appear anywhere in the Hebrew text there over in the book of Isaiah. Now, you'll learn something else here. It's sort of interesting. The Hebrew words translated Lucifer, son of the morning, are Heel ben Shakar. Now, you spell that Heel, H-E-L-E-L, that's Lucifer, Hebrew for Lucifer. Ben, B-E-N, is son of, and then Shakar, S-H-A-C-A-R, is the morning. So the King James translated it properly, Heel ben Shakar in the Hebrew, which is Lucifer, son of the morning. A perfect translation. So, translate the following. And here's three. We put down Heel, we put down Ben, and we put down Shakar. One, two, three. So after Heel, you are to put Lucifer. That's the Hebrew word for Lucifer. Ben, B-E-N, is the Hebrew for son of. And Shakar, you're to put after it the morning. So that you understand the translation, Heel Ben Shakar is Lucifer, son of the morning. So you learn a little Hebrew translation there. Question 37. This is correctly translated in the King James, but purposely perverted in the NIV and the NASB, true or false? That's a gift of God to you. But every once in a while, I have to show how nice I am, which my wife tells me all the time. I'm just kidding. And that's the end of the test. Now, do you have any questions that you'd like to ask? Okay, Patty?
I have two questions, 35, sir.
On 35?
If I made a mistake.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, first I have, on question 33, you have liar and murderer. We have to do the answer.
Okay, liar and murderer, okay.
Yeah,
liar is defined as any kind of a work salvation opposed to God's salvation as a free gift.
Okay, then 34, what is that question?
And question 34 says, in Isaiah 14:12, we read this, what we just read. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, okay? Then the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, and the NIV, the New International Bible, have omitted Lucifer and put what instead? Morning star.
So that's 34.
Yeah.
And then 35, the answer is Colcat.
Well, no, that's the... Wait a minute. I got a number wrong here. I'm sorry. 34. Yeah, that's 34. The next one is 35, 36. I made a mistake number. 38, I'm sorry. I had two 34s. Okay. That's where I fouled you up. Question 35, just renumber this. The Hebrew word for star is what? Kokab. That's number 35. I'd give it to you as 34. I had two 34s there, I'm sorry. It's Kokab. How do we know this is a perverted translation? Because the Hebrew word appears nowhere in the Hebrew manuscripts that we have. Question 36, which you had as 35, right? Now it's 36. Question 37 was old 36. And question 38 is old 37. Okay, now we got it. That was my fault. Okay. Does anybody have any questions now on that at all? That you'd like to ask? Anything on the test or on angels or that or so forth? None at all? Have any at all? Let me give you a couple, which we've given many, many times, on demon possession. When we were down in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, there was a man down there, his mother, he was about 35, 36 years old. Mother was up in age and asked me to come down and visit with her son. Said he was really weird acting. So went down, and it was evident the first time you see him that just a few minutes with him, and he was just demon possessed. His weird actions and so forth. And well, what are you doing here? And I said, well, your mother asked me to come down and wondered if I could talk to you, and I talked to you about the Bible. Well, I don't believe the Bible, and just this kind of an attitude and so forth. I said, well, couldn't we just sit down? Maybe we can just go out in the kitchen and sit down, and you tell me why you don't believe the Bible. Well, there are many reasons, and you should know the reasons. This is the kind of answers you get from this and so forth. And so we went out and sat down, and he began to talk a little bit. Very, just sort of crazy talk-like. And I'm not really happy you're here, and you should have asked me before you come. So I remember saying to him, well, why can't we just sit and talk, and I'll be glad to leave any time you want. I said, but I would like to tell you that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood that he shed upon Calvary paid for my sins, and I know I'm going to heaven. Well, that's just your opinion, and if you want to believe that, you just go ahead and believe it. Well, I said, I believed it for many years, and I am very glad I believe it, and if you don't believe it, you will go to hell when you die. Jumped up from the table and ran into the bedroom. And I don't have to listen to this, he says. And he says this, I have a right to my opinion and one thing or another. Oh, pretty soon he came back out. Sit down, Tib, did that three times. And I said, you know, I don't know why you got up. I mean, why are you aggravated? I mean, you have a right to not believe the Bible. I would fight for your right to do it. But I mean, the thing is, I said, now if we compare this, now you disagree with me and you don't believe the Bible, and I do believe the Bible, but I didn't get up and run in the bedroom. Now you did. Well, that's my prerogative. This is my house. I'll do what I want to do. Oh, so that's good. And I said, did it ever occur to you? I said, I'll just make you a little bet. I bet there's a little voice inside of you saying, boy, get this guy out of here. He don't know what he's talking about. How do you know what he's talking about? How do you know what he is talking about? He is the voice of the demon telling the guy, get this guy out, you know. So after the third time there, he made a statement. He said, you know, I'd just like to kill you. He said, I don't feel comfortable around you at all. And I said, well, there's a reason for that, sir. I said, number one, you either belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I do, or you belong to Satan. And if you belong to Satan, you'll go to hell when you die. I belong to Jesus Christ, and I'm good. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. I have my mind made up, and I want you to get out of here. I was glad to leave. He was scary. He's the kind of guy that could have just flipped out and stabbed you or something. I mean, this is what these kind of people do. And so never had any more dealings with him at all. At another, we were on the radio down out of Erlanger, Kentucky. And the broadcast came there, went into Indiana and Kentucky and Ohio. It was sort of like a 3 points there. And a lady called from over around the other side of Cleves, Ohio. If you take Route 50 from Lawrenceburg, Indiana, and you go on in, it takes you on into Cincinnati. Well, on around there, she called, and it was in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon. She said, I just listened to your broadcast this morning. You were speaking about demons. And we had brought some messages on demonism. She says, my son, we have to lock him in a room every night because he's tried several times to kill me with a knife. We cannot leave him unlocked. Daytime, it's all right, but at night, we just can't do it. He's afraid he's going to kill one of us. And she said, you were talking about this could be demons. She said, would you come up by chance and talk to my son? I said, be glad to, love to. Well, come to find out, after I talked to the mother, I said, talked to her a little bit, and I said, now, I don't care where you listen at, but I don't want you in the room when him and I talk. I don't care if you're in the next room or what, but I just don't want him seeing you there or anybody else in the room. And I won't do it if you have another preacher up there. I don't want one of those fruitcakes up there screwing everything up. And so if I'm the only one there, then I'll come. But I don't want any other preachers or anybody else. So she agreed to that. So we went up, and come to find out, after talking to the boy, first of all, he had went with some of his friends that talked him into going to some seance meetings. That's where he picked up the demon there. Now, this kid was about, if I remember right, somewhere 9, 10, 11 years old, 12 years old, something like that. Then, when I began to talk to him, I found out he had went to a Baptist church service and went down to the front of the church to supposedly get saved a couple of 3 months or something like that, sometime before I went up there. So when I began to talk to him, I said, son, can you tell me, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Absolutely, I know I'm going to heaven. And just say, this is how they talk to you, real disgustedly, like, you know, and things like that. And it's a demon egg. And I said, well, tell me how you know you're going to heaven. I went forward in the Baptist church up there. I said, what did you do when you went forward? I prayed, and the pastor prayed for me. I said, what did he pray for you for? He didn't have to pray for you for anything, son. I said, the only thing he had to do was tell you what Jesus Christ done for you. There wasn't any praying involved. You don't have to pray to ask Jesus to save you. He's asking you to accept his salvation that he bought and paid for on the cross. You don't have to ask him to save you. He's already saved you if you'll accept his salvation. Salvation means delivered. You don't have to do anything. Well, the preacher prayed for me. And I said, that doesn't give you eternal life. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ by faith, putting your full trust in his death, burial? Well, we're not getting into that. He said, I went forward. I know where I'm going. I said, son, I want to tell you, you're going right straight to hell. Every situation is different, but you could see the demon just working in him, trying to say the right things disgustedly. So I thought, this is a knockdown, drag-out battle, so I'm going to tell you right now, you're on your way to hell, son. And then, boy, he just reared up. No, 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 you're questioning my salvation. No, I'm not questioning your salvation because you don't have salvation. No, I'm questioning that little voice in you that's telling you, don't listen to this guy. Get him out of here. You're all right, son. Isn't that little voice inside of you telling you that right now? And that you're all right, son, and you're going to be taken care of, okay? You went to church. You went down forward. You did all of this and all that. Isn't that little voice telling you you're all right? Well, how do you know what he's telling me? I said, because you are demon-possessed, son, and a demon wants to drag you right straight down into hell to burn in the flames for all time and eternity. And I want to tell you something. Let go and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that demon will come out of you. We led him to Christ. That was the first one I ever seen that really went through the gyrations that you see in the Bible there. He began to jerk like that and fell on the floor and some of that stuff. And I said, let go. Let Jesus just save you. Believe that he died on the cross. Trusted Christ. To make a long story short, we had his mother come out and his father come out. And the kid was like in a matter of a few minutes. Now, this had went on for maybe 25, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, something. It's been years ago. I don't remember exactly how long, but it wasn't just a two-minute thing. And anyway, and then I said, tell me now, son, where are you going to go when you die? You look like a new kid. He said, I feel like a new kid. I said, you promise me you'll never go to one of those damnable seances again with these so-called damnable friends that you have and stay away. These were demons after your soul. You can almost see them grabbing you by the arm, dragging you into hell. That's what had a hold of you, son. And anyway, as time went on, and the parents wanted to know what to do. Should we not lock him in the room or that after the son had left then, went out to play because I wanted to talk to the parents by themselves. What do you tell a parent after that? You tell him not to lock him in his room? You tell him to lock him in his room? What would you do? What'd you tell him? What would be your answer to him? That's a tough one, isn't it? That's a tough one. Well, to make a long story short, as time went on, we told the parents, you call me and let me know if this is a continual change in your son. You need to keep him away from these kind of people. That's your fault. You let him get involved. So part of this is your fault, parents. It was several months after that, and I talked with them. They haven't had a problem since at all. But here was a preacher in a Baptist church. He went down forward and laid his hands on the boy and prayed for him, for God's salvation. And the kid just went through the motions. Wasn't the preacher saying, son, the reason Jesus Christ died for you is you're a sinner just like I am. He paid for your sins on the cross. None of that. None of that. Just prayed for you for the salvation of God. He'll save your soul. Really? How's he going to save your soul if you don't know that he died on the cross to save your soul, and your part in it, fella, is believing? He doesn't just give it to you for nothing. You've got to believe it. Then you receive it. Amen? You got to trust him. You got to understand what you're doing. And so forth. Demon possession. And there are many others. I see your time scooting along here. But there are also many other incidents. We had quite a interesting thing down in Florida. And also one up in northern Minnesota. And when you look at some of these people right out that you associate with, and you see some of these very unnatural behaviors that are absolutely against. You talk about people and kids that even through drugs are just cutting themselves and things. This is demon possession, folks. This is what drugs will do to your mind. We had a fellow that was boxing, I think, the middleweight champion of the state of Minnesota some years back. We led him to the Lord. He'd been on drugs, very heavy drugs, lived out in Garland. And anyway, after we led him to the Lord, they later moved and went up around Detroit Lakes. But he was telling me, he said, and we were talking a little bit about demonism and so forth, and he said, I was, when I was on one of my trips on drugs, he said, Max, he said, I want to tell you, this is as real as you and I talking right here. He said, I went to open my basement door, which happened to be right off of the kitchen. I went to open the basement door. He said, I was high on drugs. As he said, I'll tell you, those demons came up out of that basement trying to grab me. I shut that door, and he said, the hair stood up on my back. He said, it was real. He said, they were there. I seen them. They came up them stairs, and they wanted me, and they were trying to get me. He said, I'm never so scared in my life. He said, oh, man alive, you talk about being real. I'll tell you what, demons can do things to you, can't they? And you get putting drugs in your mind, friend, and altering your chemical balance and so forth, demons have a field day with your mind. And he related that to me three or four times down through the times that he was here. And he said, I want to tell you, it was real. They were there. I seen them. They were going to grab me. Well, I'll tell you what, I believe that would have cured my trip on drugs, don't you? If I did, I'd be sitting on top of the roof beside the chimney or something, and I'd have it plugged up. I wouldn't have anybody getting anywhere close to me. But demons are real, and you're seeing more demon possession now. This world is practically taken over by demonism. You stop and analyze this. Every false teacher is controlled by demonic influence and satanic influence. Everyone. Let me ask you something. Who controls a minister and a church and an organization that says, you have your baby baptized? Nowhere in the Bible do you find that. Nowhere. Who made that trash up? You're living in an area right now that is saturated. I mean, this is all over in your Lutheranism, your Catholicism. Who's behind that? Ministers transforming themselves into the apostles of light. Satanic preachers. God says in the Bible in Proverbs 36, as you well know, add thou not unto his works, his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Who is a liar? If Satan can get you any way religious, just don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He's got you in hell. And that's why when you find out a Satan-controlled church is always a church that has more tradition to cover up the teaching of the Bible. They had here, Tim Griffith was telling me, they had his wife play for the ecumenical get-together of the churches for Easter. So he talks to Pastor Smith of the Methodist Church. He came into the store and he said, you got a few minutes, come on back, so I want to ask you some questions. And he said, I'll tell you what, he said, one of the things that I told him was this, you guys go to every kind of length you can go to, and I guess they did a something on the seven scenes of the cross or something like that. And Tim told him, said, you know, there's nowhere in the Bible it says that Christ fell beneath the cross, like it says in our song. Cyrene came in and took the cross and carried it, but didn't say anywhere that Christ fell beneath the cross. And he said, seven scenes of the cross mean nothing to me. He said, you'll go to every kind of thing that you can think of to get away from teaching the Bible. But that's what I told Pastor Smith. They didn't like it too well, but that's what I told him anyway. He said, there couldn't anybody got saved in there. If I didn't know how to go to heaven, there is no way in the world I ever got saved to that meeting we went to and where my wife played. We didn't like it too well. But that's the way it is. Who orchestrates that? Who's behind that? Seven scenes of the cross, and nobody knows how to get to heaven when you go to an ecumenical church service that's supposed to be, we just love God so much, we want you to come and worship with us. And you won't even tell the people, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Who's behind that, friend? Satan. Anything he can do to be religious, just don't ever mention John 3:16. Amen. Or Ephesians 2:8-9. Or 1 John 5:13. Or Acts 13:38-39. Or John 3:36, or John 5:24. Whatever you do, don't mention anything that has to do with eternal life. Just come worship with us, you big bunch of funny balonies. Just like I did when I was a teenager. Wherever you got tradition, it's a cover-up, so we don't have to tell you what the Bible says. Amen. You just come worship with us. Well, I see our time's gone. Do you have any questions or anything? This is what demons do. This is their prime concern. Because they know they have but a short time. Isn't it true? hell was created for the devil and his angels. It surely was. Thank God he created heaven for you and me. Amen? That's where we're going. Far cry from hell. But does anybody have any questions you'd like to ask or anything or discuss on it for a minute here? Okay, David.
Now, you say that a demon can't possess us because we have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit can't have fellowship in the same body as this demon is in. We have the Holy Spirit involved in a sinful body. Isn't that
the
contradiction there, though?
What do you mean, the contradiction?
There's
a lot of different than a demon being in there. You know, thank God your demon's not in you. Eh? We're born a sinful body, but we have a new nature. But with that sinful body, he's not going to put the God of that sinful body, which is Satan, inside your body. What know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God? The strong man would have to bind the weak man to get into your body. No, you're born a sinful body, but you have a new nature, and that's why we have the conflict. Satan and demons can appeal to that old nature, but they can't come in and control your mind and so forth like that from the inside, because that's reserved for the Holy Spirit. Know what? Your body is a temple, not of Satan or a demon or the Holy Spirit. It is of, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, period. Never do we find anywhere where a demon can possess a saved person. There's just nothing in Scripture to indicate it that I know of, unless you have a place.
No, it's just that.
Okay, don't give me your human reasoning now. Give me Scripture. I don't want your philosophy. I want your... He'll do enough damage from the outside. How many Christians do you know with the... He really doesn't need to indwell, and God won't let him anyway. Nothing ever in Scripture that a demon indwells a saved person. But he can do a tremendous amount of damage from the outside through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I mean, all he needs is to throw, with our flesh that we have, is to throw up all the beauty of the world without showing what's in the alley behind it. Isn't that right? Isn't it fun to go out and have a drink with the boys? Isn't it fun to go out and have a drink with the girls? Isn't it fun to, you know, do these fun things and see the neon lights? You'll see the trash behind the building in the alley. You never see that, you know. But he does plenty of damage to the Christian through the old nature, which is inside and out of us. I mean, it's the body. We have the eyes, lust of the eyes. We have the pride of life. We have the lust of the flesh, and so forth. I remember one man saying one time, he said, you know, oh, he said, I tell you, I'm having trouble with my flesh. He said, so they had this Pentecostal meeting, and he said, we're going to show you how to overcome any temptation of the flesh. He said, I went there for 2 weeks. He said, man, I was on cloud nine. I was in the heavenlies. I visited the cherubims and the seraphims, and he said, I was there. He said, I came home, and his blonde bombshell walked down the street and came right back down to earth faster than I ever went up. He said, but Satan knows exactly what to bring before us, doesn't he? Even from the outside, to appeal to it. How many preachers are out of their ministry today because of the lust of the flesh? Some in Bible college I never dreamed would have ever be out of the ministry today. Had an affair with a pianist in the church down in Florida. This is a big church, 1,500 people, something like that. He's out of the ministry. Good preacher. Good preacher. Knew the word of God. Led a lot of people to Christ. Out of the ministry. Gone. He should have read Proverbs chapter 7, shouldn't he? He surely should have. How she enticed him with her perfume and so forth like that. But if you read the last verse of the chapter, it says her way is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing. So he's pretty active on the outside without coming in. But you'd have to bind the strong man, and he can't bind the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So there's nothing he can do but work from the outside, and he's very effective at it. Isn't it funny when you get discouraged how he'll throw just the thing to get you more discouraged? Isn't it amazing how Satan will do that? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Everybody, we all have pride in us. Isn't it terrible to be caught when you make a mistake? Now, you ought to follow my example, because I've made so many of them, don't bother me anymore. But you people that live such a good life and everything, you don't make many, it gets a little intimidating to you because that little bit of pride there. But I've done so much, there ain't nothing to get proud about. You know, they picked me apart like you wouldn't believe it. So, we got any more questions? Well, you can wrestle with your philosophy, but the Word of God, there isn't any, there isn't anything there for it. I'm not saying that being facetious of me because I am very sweet. Okay, anybody else have anything that you'd like to ask or anything at all? On it?
Okay.
Yeah, we're still going to have the class. We'll still have the test. Yeah. because we're fast eaters. I checked in with the women, so they're going to have it on. We're going to eat. No problem at all. And you'll do better after eating at church and having fellowship. Everything will be clear in your mind, so you'll be ready for the test. So that was a deciding point. I talked to the ladies of the church, and they said, no problem. Okay. Any other questions do you have? David, do you have another question? Okay. Anybody else? Okay, who do we have dismissing us tonight, Patty? Dave Cagle. Okay, Dave, would you like to close in prayer, if you would?
Yeah. Okay, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us.
Amen.
We thank you for those that are here tonight to learn your word.
Yes, sir.
We ask that you help us keep it to memory and that we can use this knowledge for your honor and your glory.